The heart of every organization is its people. We're taking action to take care of them, to develop a world-class team, now and into the future. This is Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie.
Hey, welcome back to Empowering Excellence. I am your host, Art Sterrett, and today we have a special co-host as my usual partner, Frankie, is on leave. So Greg Geisen, who is our project manager for our NAVWAR redevelopment project.
Happy to be filling in.
Greg, you know, I've known you for a while now, and I often see you as a man who needs no introduction, but for the small part of the population who may not know who you are, why don't you give us a 30-second 411 on yourself?
Let's see. 20 years in the Navy, retired here in San Diego in 2010, started working at NAVWAR as the communications director for about 9 years. When I was reassigned by the Admiral to do the revitalization of the Old Town campus in 2018, 19, somewhere in there.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here. You have big shoes to fill, though.
Big project ahead of me, at least. Right now, it's a lot of ideas, a lot of planning, a lot of thoughts. We've just recently was able to get our developing partner on board in exclusive negotiations. So we started that in January. So things are looking pretty positive. And we're hoping to get some plans on the ground and in the next couple of years, be able to actually start turning these plans and thoughts into reality.
Maybe we'll take a few minutes at the end and give the NAV Warriors an update how the project's going, where we are, when we're going to put shovels in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of our project, San Diego and the Navy, NAVWAR in particular, have always had kind of a symbiotic relationship. San Diego in support of the Navy and support of our warfighters, greatest Navy town in the country. And likewise, speaking from a NAVWAR perspective, we've enjoyed having a great place to live here in America's finest city here in San Diego. One of the things we want to talk about today, or the thing that we want to talk about today, is the recent economic impact study that came out of the University of San Diego. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
There's an organization in town called SDMAC, San Diego Military Advisory Council. They've been around for about 20 years. They are an advocacy group for the military. They do a lot of things for the fleet and for the sailors. And every year they do what's called a military economic impact document that looks at the economic impact of the military here in San Diego and really shows some eye-watering results, such as 25% of the entire gross regional product is generated by the military. 25% of all jobs are connected to the military in San Diego. These are facts that really change the San Diego economy. And when you think about it, tourism is what we think of as a large driver. It's the second largest driver. At 12%. So military is 25% and tourism is 12%. So it really is the underpinning of the San Diego economy here in San Diego. And then they do that report every year, but every once in a while they focus on a specific command. And we are lucky enough to be chosen by SDMAC this year. SDMAC, in concert with USD School of Business, was able to do an economic report that was released here in January that really shows the economic impact of NAVWAR itself in San Diego.
The enormous economic impact, both direct and indirect, that the Navy and, in our case, in particular, NAVWAR has on the San Diego economy. So we're going to bring in the author of this report, the lead for this report. Why don't you do the introductions?
In studio today, we have Dr. Gabe, who is a USD professor at the School of Business and was the lead on the project along with his team who did the analysis of all the data and coming up with the economics. Dr. Gabe, go ahead and give us your background, if you would.
Thanks, Art. Thanks, Greg, for welcoming me here. So my name is Jeremy Gabe. I'm an associate professor of real estate up at the San Diego Canal School of Business. And I do want to say that this was a team effort. And I don't know if any of us was the lead, per se.
You're the one to blame.
I'm the one to blame, yeah. Yeah, I'm the economist on the project. So if the numbers are wrong, that's my fault. The Canal School of Business, we have an objective that's called, we want to be an anchor institution. So we want to serve our local community and our local economy. So one of the objectives is to become a military-connected institution because you guys just well described the importance of the military here to San Diego's economy. As part of the San Diego Military Advisory Council, our Burnham Moores Center for Real Estate, which is sort of the research center arm that targets student success, but also the research arm, they came together and got us involved in this. And as the economist on the team, that's how I got involved.
awesome. First of all, I want to know, do you have a great view from your office up there?
I have no windows in my office. Excellent. So it probably looks a lot like those classified facilities.
Well, I drive through your campus fairly frequently, and it's a beautiful campus. So.
Beautiful campus.
Our center is like in the internal part. Everybody else has great views, not the real estate part.
Well, that's too bad. At any rate, back to the report. What kind of methodology do you use? What kind of conclusions do you get from it?
Yeah, so I'll start with the objective, and that was to isolate NavWar as a unique entity or company. Like, we kind of had this idea that, like, what if NavWar was a private company doing what it does? How much would the activities it does contribute to San Diego's gross regional product? So what we did was to give kind of a little peek behind the economic scenes, the terminology is that the NavWar is part of the base economy. So it brings money in. To think about how this works, think about following the money. We're not that interested in the money that comes from within San Diego County because that's circulating within. We're interested in the money that comes from outside San Diego. So NavWar gets most of its money from Washington, and that money comes in for two main purposes. It funds the salaries and benefits of the employees, and it also funds the contracted work for the contractors that supply NavWar. So those are the two major sources of money coming in. There's smaller ones like government purchasing. And then we want to follow what happens to that money. So the direct impact is what that money funds immediately. And then the indirect impact is that money then starts recirculating around the economy because there's a lot of geographically irrelevant services like healthcare, auto repair, restaurants that see extra activity because NavWar decides to locate here in San Diego. That money is our indirect and induced impact. And we look at all the transactions that happen, and about $2.25 billion is that direct impact, and about another $1.1 billion comes from the indirect and induced impacts from contractors' activities that they locate here and the employees that go to local restaurants as opposed to traveling to, say, Las Vegas to go to the restaurant.
So altogether, about $3.6 billion of impact as a result of NavWar's location here in San Diego.
Yeah, we put a range on it. We know the money that goes to contractors who are domiciled in San Diego County, but that doesn't necessarily mean they spend that money locally. So what was really exciting from a nerd economist point of view on this project is we're dealing with an existing entity. Normally, you do these kind of projections on economic impact for some proposed future development or future redevelopment, which may be the case soon. We had an existing entity, so we know what money's coming in. And then the question is, well, do the contractors spend that money locally? Default assumption is yes. Accounts payable goes to a San Diego address. It stays here and stimulates our local economy. So we actually had our students and other team members go out and survey the big contractors and some of the small contractors to get an idea of how much of that stays local. And we were surprised at how much was local, but that gives us a range, like 3.1 to 3.36 billion. That number is so much more precise than any kind of other economic impact study that you'll ever see.
Because you're dealing with real-time actual information with historical perspective.
Exactly. And that's really rare for that to be done.
So you mentioned students. So students are actually part of building this report.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we had graduate student Bobby Morales work on this. And he also has military experience as well. So it was really good because we have a lot of military students in our real estate programs. And so he gave us some really good insight into how much of that money stays local.
From a San Diego region perspective, what are some of the unique things about San Diego, and maybe your report doesn't get into this, but that benefit the Navy? Obviously, adjacent to the port. What other things, maybe from an economic perspective, especially this command, where cyber and information warfare are so important?
That's really important. So I think you've got both ends of the supply chain here. You need the supply of the labor. This kind of cyber high technology requires extremely skilled labor. You know, if you just look at the private sector, where do we get Silicon Valley? Why is that there? Well, Stanford University, Cal Berkeley. Why are a lot of biotech and other information companies located here in San Diego? San Diego State University, UC San Diego, USD. So you need that supply of talent, and most of that comes from higher education. So you need to be located in an area that has a regular supply of skilled talent. And then you have the other side. Everything done here is for the fleet. The fleet can come in. Thank Greg for touring me around, but I got to see a lot of the development of both hardware and software happens here, and it really needs that testing from the operational side. So it's all well and good for the engineers to do it on paper on a desktop, but it needs to be tested in an operational capacity. Having the fleet next door allows that to happen much more efficiently than it would be if Navor was located somewhere else and all of that had to be done remotely.
I think maybe now we could transition over to an update on the project. And Jeremy, perhaps you could join me and we could ask Greg questions about where the project is. So you guys could flip roles. Jeremy could be co-host.
Excellent.
And now, so our new guest star, Greg Geis. And Greg, so I guess maybe start by giving us a high-level update on where we are with the OTC redevelopment project.
Well, I'll take a lead from Dr. Gabe here and start off with the objective. That is a very simple terms. We've got 70 acres of federal land that we sit on here between our laboratories and the sites on both sides. Very inefficiently, we're spread out on the first floor of 70 acres. So what our objective here is to do a public-private partnership as one of our primary alternatives is to figure out how do we make it efficient in a modern structure that's more of a tower, stacked laboratories, and get our footprint down to less than 10 acres. The remaining 60 acres, we can do a 99-year outlease, and the profits that that developer can make off of that will pay for our facilities. And that's really what we call it. It's an enhanced use lease where we give the developer development rights on about 60 acres or more, and in exchange, they give us new facilities. That's basically what we're trying to do, similar to the Broadway complex that was done downtown. We've been at this for about 4.5 years. We just got through our RFQ and RFP process. In January, the federal government announced our exclusive negotiating partner is made up of Manchester and Edgemoor, which are two companies that have formed an LLC that is focused on the redevelopment of the site for the U.S. Navy. They're backed by Clark Construction, which, of course, is an international massive developer, and that's the parent organization of Edgemoor. It's really exciting point to get to there. It's taken us a while, but actually from the federal government's perspective, we're moving pretty fast. We expect the next period to be the design phase, the development phase, figuring out all the legality, the contracts. That's going to take us at least 2 years. This is a very complex and very large project. We're hoping to have somewhere between 4,000 and 10,000 housing units developed on the site to generate the revenue needed to pay for the Navy facilities. We are going to try to replace the facilities with at least the square footage we have today, plus growth. So that's our intention to do that. And it's going to be a highly classified facility. Today, we struggle today with unclassified spaces, trying to figure out how to make them secret, how to make secret to top secret. This new facility will be all built to an open secret standards, and it'll have the largest top secret facility anywhere on the coast, 5 times what we have today. So it'll be a dramatic improvement for the capabilities of Navor here in San Diego if we're able to achieve what we hope. That's going to be about a 2-year process to go through those negotiations with the developer. Could be longer if we start hitting road bumps or other issues, but that's what we're hoping to shoot. That's what our initial planning is looking towards. Once we get through that negotiation, then we'll actually sign a lease with the developer that says, okay, we are giving you this development lease. In exchange, you promised to give us this exact building at 100% design. That's when the proverbial shovel goes in the ground. After that point, they'll do some additional planning. So at about the 2.5-year point from now, maybe that golden shovel and we'll go on the ground there and start turning over some dirt.
I'm always big on managing expectations, Greg. And you kind of tempered my enthusiasm there a little bit. But I'm telling you, I got a shovel and I'm ready to dig now. Why can't I start digging
now? You can go dig right out of there right now. I got some weeds in this planter box that could really some turnover.
Well, why does
we'll get some work out of you yet?
Maybe so. But for the people listening, why does it take 2 years from here before we kind of get to that next?
Sure,
big step?
I kind of think of it like 3 lanes of a highway here, and we're looking down the highway at this road we have to go on. The first lane is really the design. We have to design the military facilities to 100%. We have to know exactly how many square feet we're going to get, what requirements we're going to meet, and how much that building is going to cost the developer to build, because that's their give me to us in exchange for that lease. That's the first part. It takes a while to design something. We don't have blueprints yet. We got to get the blueprints. At the same time, the developer's got to develop the commercial side of this, the other 60-plus acres. And they got to work with the city, the county, the state. They might be putting a transit station on that, so they got sandag involvement. They got road improvements to do around the area. They got to fix all the roads really are pretty darn bad. A lot of one-way streets, a lot of super blocks that choke traffic flow. All that has to be planned with sandag and the city to figure all that out. And that takes a long period of time. So that's just the planning phase. That's the first lane of the highway. The second lane of the highway is the environmental phase. And this is not the green shoots of grass and bunny rabbits, because we don't have those. This is the human environment. What is impacted by the federal decision to do this project? How does our federal decision impact the human environment? Traffic, water flow, airspace, all these things that go into. There's 16 different areas that we had to study. It usually takes 3 to 5 years to do those studies, where we've done about 80% of that. We're going to have to refine those studies once we have those plans, so they affect each other. And once we have that environmental done, we then have to get to a record of decision on that, which is something that has to be signed out by the secretary that says this is what the Navy has decided to do. And there's a process that goes through that, including public comment. We'll engage with the public for a period of time and get their thoughts and feedbacks and take their feedbacks and work it into our final decision. And then the third lane is the financing. That's probably the hardest one. It doesn't really come down to building a building or dealing environmental. This is the actual contract, legalese, and money. And that's what's really going to drive the whole thing. And that's all infected by the environmental and the design. So all three of those lanes have to go coincide side. If that road that we're going down, that freeway, that three-lane freeway, is smooth and clear on a beautiful sunny San Diego, 2 years looks pretty good to get there. At least that's what I've demanded of my project manager, and that's what she's working towards. If we hit rain, potholes, heavy traffic, then that 2 years could stretch out.
Potholes in San Diego?
I've heard there are a couple.
So that's fantastic. You've definitely managed my expectations. Thanks for that. I want to thank Professor Gabe, Greg Geisen, both my guests and co-hosts today, for coming in and sharing with us the economic impact study, and Greg for giving us an update on the NAVWAR/OTC redevelopment project. And before we close out, I wanted to mention the stellar event we participated in earlier this month, West 2024, hosted by Armed Forces Communications and Electronics Association, better known by us as AFCEA, and the United States Naval Institute. We had leadership speakers, opportunities for industry partners to meet with our program managers and subject matter experts, and also demonstrated some of our Information Warfare Center's cutting-edge technology. It was a busy 3 days, but we took a few moments to hear from our folks from the show floor.
NAVWAR's mission we do with industry, with our industry partners. We do it with our sailors, our civilians. To be here and to learn from each other in this environment is hugely important. The technology is changing daily, so part of what we do at West is to meet with our partners, understand what they're seeing is new, and then what they're seeing in the commercial marketplace, how does that translate into our military mission? And IW covers everything from communications to cyber, to things we're doing in space. Those are huge moving targets, and they're critical to our warfighting mission.
What we're demonstrating is our AMOS 3D printer, and it is an expeditionary AM capability that we've built for the Marine Corps. This is the Sneebler airframe that we actually iterated on at NIWC PAC. Traditionally, these take 120 hours to produce in the field with the current TACFAG capabilities. We produce this exact airframe in just 9 hours on our AMOS 3D printer. So when you think about the field repairability of robotics, this is a huge advantage for our warfighters in the field, where if an arm breaks or a full airframe goes down, they can just immediately replace it in the field.
The NIWC Pacific Portfolio Council is our industry liaisons to the center. So what we do is try to engage with all of our potential industry partners and understand what's going on throughout the DoD, and try to make sure that we're connecting the right people to the right projects and program managers and engineers at the center. So it's a lot of talking with various people, educating them on what NIWC Pacific is, and also trying to make sure that we are able to understand the pulse of technology out there.
And when you start thinking about digitization, when we do an engineering review, we did one recently and we had 630 documents. And everybody that has to do the review to try to provide good advice and technical insight takes months. When we get to a digital backplane, we will have no documents and we will be able to perform a complete review and have much greater insight in a much shorter period of time that it will allow us and enable speed and agility moving forward.
Cosmos is NYWAC PAC's newest cloud environment. We're focused on AWS IL 4 and 5. We're all about how to make government cloud as fast as commercial cloud. So we've actually sped up the onboarding process so that you can get into Cosmos within under an hour for not only your user accounts, but also your product accounts. We're doing a lot of innovative things with how to access cloud. You can get to it from anywhere, any device. All you need is a DoD CAC card and you need to be a US citizen. We're also making sure we can provide a self-service portal so you can manage your cloud project all by yourself. And then we're building in to help automate RMF and to do some continuous monitoring. And we'll be doing a lot of that iteratively over time. It'll definitely be helping the Navy get into cloud faster and then also with their ATOs.
Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie is a production of the NAVWAR Headquarters Public Affairs Office in association with NAVWAR Corporate Operations. Our podcast production team includes Ed Disco Buckleton, Kara McDermott, and Ramon Goh, our digital media specialist, who produced today's show. On behalf of Frankie and myself, I am Art Sterrett. Have a great Navy Day.